In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yes, indeed. It is time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you every Monday afternoon by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us in studio. Welcome, Mr. Adams.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You are now a veteran, experienced commencement speaker. How did your address go to the graduates of Herman High School?
I think it went pretty well. The way it's set up when you do a graduation at the Cross Center, the kids were actually seated on the stage behind me. So I honestly don't know how they reacted, because the audience was, you know, the audience was out there. They were up. But by all accounts, the kids seemed to enjoy it. They were certainly very, very kind after the ceremony. A number of them said thank you and complimented me on the speech. Our friend Katie Toole, who teaches at Herman, and she was the one who sort of put me forward as a recommended possibility for speaker, seemed very pleased with how it all came together. And so, you know, as long as she dug it, Principal Walsh seemed to dig it. Got some laughs. People clapped. They seemed to pay attention. I don't think I lost anybody. I managed to avoid cursing. So
well,
yeah.
Done.
No, I think that's a pretty big win all around.
Where were the kids who came up afterwards and said, "Did you really graduate from Herman?"
There were a couple. I think my favorite. Every once in a while, one would come up and be like, "You know, because I had gone to the rehearsal, and so I had said to them, you know, if you have any." You know, if your moms or dads or other family members attended Herman High School in the early to mid 1990s, I probably have some incriminating stories about them. So please come, you know, please speak to me later, kind of as a joke. But then on the day, I had a couple just be like, "Yes, so my mom is so and so, and my aunt is so and so, and do you have any stories about them?" And it's like, and it's one of those things where it's like, "Oh God, yes, I do, but I really can't." I can't say that. So it's like, and then I say that, and then I plead the fifth, and then it's like, oh God, now they're going to go ask. And it's a whole thing. But you know what? You know, it's important that the kids hear these stories from their elders and know that we're all, you know, that we were all the same when we were growing up as teenagers there at good old Herman High.
There you go. And in the midst of all of this, did you wear a robe too and all that?
No. I just went, I did wear a suit.
Wow.
Well, it was one of those things where I was going to go a little more on the casual side, not like casual, but my wife actually was like, you know, "You're going to be in all these pictures. Like, do you really want to be up there in, you know, khakis or whatever?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So I end up wearing a suit and tie and the whole shebang. And I really was glad that I did, because it just, you know, it's an important occasion.
Yeah.
It's one that warrants making a little bit of an extra effort. So I'm glad that I tried to look the part.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, you still got to the movies.
I did, a couple of times.
But what did you see?
Well, I saw Ocean's 8, and I saw Hotel Artemis.
I have not heard of that one.
Well, we'll start with that one.
All
then.
Right, yeah, let's find out.
Hotel Artemis is how to describe. I describe it as sort of a grittier, dirtier, near future kind of situation where, like, Hotel Artemis is where background bad guys that John Wick beats up but doesn't kill go to be patched up. Set in 2028, Los Angeles. The city's, like, on fire with riots. You know, there are water shortages and the whole shebang. And in the middle of it all is this place called the Hotel Artemis, run by an agoraphobic alcoholic nurse known simply as The Nurse, played by Jodie Foster.
Wow.
In her first on-screen role in 5 years. The last movie she did was Elysium back in 2013. And so her return to the screen. And basically she runs this place that's essentially a members-only hospital for, like, criminals. So these, you know, criminals, you know, pay dues or whatever. And they get implanted with a little chip in their wrist. And if they run into trouble in the course of their illicit activities and need to be patched up for whatever reason, they could show up at the Hotel Artemis. And if there's a room, they can be let in. And the way it works is There's a degree of anonymity granted. No one is referred to by name. Like, you basically are referred to by the name of your room. All the rooms are named after vacation destinations. So there's like Waikiki, Honolulu, Nice, Acapulco, like stuff like that. And so there are only like a handful of actual names that get spoken, and like because everyone's referred to by their room names. But yeah, so you have a brother, a pair of brothers who are robbing a bank. It goes wrong. The older brother is played by Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, but his younger brother gets injured badly in the course of this robbery. So they wind up going to the Hotel Artemis, where already staying there is a French assassin who's obviously staying in Nice because, played by Sophia Boutella, and an arms dealer staying in Acapulco, played by Charlie Day, of all people.
Really?
But he was great in this as well. And so basically the nurse runs this joint with her primarily help being an orderly that she calls Everest, played by Dave Bautista. Who's also excellent in this. Like, he's someone who I really had very low expectations for, but he is gradually showing me more and more every time I see him in something, and it makes me wonder. I think I might have given him short shrift along the way. But anyway, so these people are all, they have their interpersonal dynamics, and criminal underworlds. The criminal underworld, also apparently a small world, because some of these people know each other going forward. But things really hit the fan when the nurse finds herself forced to maybe go against some of the established rules of the hotel, which are stuff like no business can be done in the hotel. You don't kill each other. Like, there are very specific rules that allow for the safety that they're paying for with these membership dues. But all that goes out the window when a very special guest decides that he needs to be admitted, and he's known as the Wolf King of Los Angeles, and he is played by none other than Jeff Goldblum.
Whoa.
And things start falling apart for various reasons that I'm not going to go into because I don't want to spoil it. That's basically where we're at, and it's a movie that I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about, but it turned out to I dug it. I think I dug it more than most people. It was so weird to see Jodie Foster back on screen after such a long time. And it's just such an odd choice. Do you know what I mean? But she's made it very clear in recent years. She just wants to do stuff that piques her interest. Like, she's not at all concerned with doing, like, I'm not doing this for a paycheck. I'm not doing this for awards. I'm just doing this because this seems like something I will be interested in doing. And I find that admirable. Mm. I think, especially someone as talented as her, who could basically work all the time. She anchors it with really a phenomenal performance. I mean, obviously she's great. She's great in this. But it's the supporting cast that really kind of shines. Sterling K. Brown, he's very good. Like, he's someone who I think is going to break out on the big screen in a pretty significant way sooner rather than later. Like, he's just a really talented guy. Like, I've seen him in some smaller roles in movies. He's just one of those guys. He just has that sort of it factor, I think, in a way that not a lot of performers have. I mentioned Bautista. He's great. Goldblum, just Goldblum's all over the place, and it's fantastic. Charlie Day is surprising, like the weird sort of, like, because he's like, obviously he's funny, but he's also displayed, even in his sitcom stuff when he's doing It's Always Sunny, like there's a darkness there, and that sort of comes to the forefront a little bit more in this part, which works really well. He seems to be finding this nice niche of edgy comic relief in big sci-fi action flicks, which is, there's a good play. That's a good lane to be in, I think. Who else is in this? Jenny Slate shows up at one point. She's there for a while. Zachary Quinto. Like, it's a really great cast. It's a really intriguing concept. It's not as good as the John Wick movies, I don't think. But it has that same sort of kind of world building vibe to it that I think I find really, really intriguing. The action stuff is pretty good, and you know, when you've got someone like Jodie Foster leading the way, it's hard to you know, be bad.
Cool. Well, that sounds good. How about Ocean's 8?
I love the Ocean's movies. Love
me
them.
Me too. They're just fun.
You know what I mean?
And because the people in them are clearly having a good time.
And that's the thing. Like to you know, and to assemble such a great cast, led by such a talented filmmaker, because you know, it's, you know, you can have all the talent in the world in your cast, but if you've got someone behind the camera who doesn't know what they're doing, it doesn't matter. But we get, you know, Steven Soderbergh, you know, it basically doing the closest thing to a straight up like studio movie he's ever done when he's doing those movies. But meanwhile, you've got, you know, Clooney and Pitt and Damon and the whole guys just farting around wearing suits and just, you know, basically, you know, busting each other's balls. And that's awesome. Like, it was great fun to watch those movies. So I was a little apprehensive going into this one. I know that there are people out there who I'm sure rejected the idea of this movie out of hand for reasons that I'm not going to go into, but involve toxic masculinity and the internet. And I get it. I get why people are like, oh, well, you don't need to remake blah, blah, blah. And well, yeah, but it's not a remake. It's very much a sequel because Sandra Bullock, who stars, plays Debbie Ocean. She's Clooney's sister. And the film follows a very familiar path. Like, it's her getting out of prison at the beginning of the movie, you know, promising to go to walk the straight and narrow, and then immediately, you know, walking the crooked and wide, where she gets out and immediately starts putting a crew together because she spent her 5 years in prison coming up with the perfect plan for the perfect heist. And immediately I'm like, okay, I'm in. Like, you're gonna, you know, put together this Rube Goldbergian, like, elaborate plan to steal something. Yes, I want this. And then, of course, the crew consists of just a collection of wildly talented performers. Her first stop is her old partner Lou, played by Cate Blanchett.
Hello,
you know. And then they start figuring out, because the plan is they're going to steal a necklace known as the Toussaint. It's a sort of a legendary piece of jewelry manufactured by Cartier. Hasn't seen the light of day in decades. It's been buried in their vault in New York City, and their plan is to steal it. Well, how do you steal it? First, you got to get it out of the vault. So they recruit a disgraced and bankrupt fashion designer by the name of Rose Wheel, played by Helena Bonham Carter. As part of their plan to find their way into the Met Gala. That's where they're going to pull this off. And by doing that, they need Rose to get hired to dress the famous movie star who's going to be hosting the gala, played by Anne Hathaway. and so there's that. Then you have to have a hacker because it's 2018 and there's always a hacker. This hacker is named Nineball and played by Rihanna.
Cool.
You pull in a now retired fence who lives in the suburbs with her family. Well, not really retired fence, named Tammy, played by Sarah Paulson.
Who's awesome and everything.
Who's fantastic. You're getting, you know, it's a jewelry heist. You need someone to handle the jewels. So they go to the Diamond District and bring in a young lady whose parents were friends with the Ocean parents, played by Mindy Kaling.
I love it.
And then they get a pickpocket who is played by an actress known only as Awkwafina.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yes,
I have heard of her.
I've seen her in a couple of things. Yeah. But yeah, and this gang kind of comes together with this again ridiculously elaborate plan. Just like all the best Ocean plans, it relies heavily on meticulously detailed timing and, well, frankly, a whole lot of luck. Like that's how it has to go. And they basically go through and put together this plan that, as per usual, runs into a few hitches along the way. You know, you've got Debbie Ocean and trying to figure out just how she's going to get through the situation and make sure nobody goes to jail because she doesn't want to go back and she doesn't want any of her friends to go. It's remarkable how things sort of line up in terms of the comparison between the two. Sandra Bullock is very good. She's another one who hadn't done anything in a while. Like, it's been a while since she's done any movies, and so to come back with something like this was a really interesting choice. But I mean, she's straight up, you know, she's straight up cribbing the George Clooney playbook as far as playing this part. Which, of course, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Like that. I mean, he kind of basically those movies basically reinvigorated the sort of heist genre. And so, you know, if you're paying homage to that sort of thing, like, really lean into it. You know, and Cate Blanchett is full on Brad Pitting it with her performance, which is great.
Now, who's the Andy Garcia of this one?
Well, it's difficult to sort of say. Like, there's this art dealer who's sort of you know, superficially like pulled into the plot, named Claude Decker, played by a guy whose name I don't recall and doesn't really matter. One could argue that that Anne Hathaway in some ways is playing that Andy Garcia character. And there's also you know, the last quarter of the movie, a character played by James Corden shows up, and who is awesome. I'm not going to talk too much about what Corden's doing because it's kind of a spoiler, but he's great. Yeah, and it's just this wonderful dynamic. And again, it's the same sort of reason why those the original Ocean's movies worked so well. It's because these women are having a hell of a time, like, and you can tell, like, you can tell that they're having fun, like, they're really leaning into the character choices, like, even the ones who, unfortunately, maybe don't get utilized as fully as they might have. Kaling comes to mind, and even Paulson a little bit. I was kind of surprised that they didn't really take advantage of her talents a little bit more. And again, that doesn't mean that, like, everybody has something to do and everybody really embraces the opportunities that they're given when they're on screen. But yeah, it's a wonderful, it's a tight ensemble. Like, it's got the twists and turns that you want from this kind of genre film. Look, the director, Gary Ross, he's very good. Like, he's not Steven Soderbergh, but who is?
Right.
Like, I mean, Soderbergh's probably the premier stylist of his generation as far as directors are concerned. Like, you're not gonna hit that mark. Like, that's okay. Like, you don't have to be Soderbergh to make this movie work. As far as where this one falls in the hierarchy, it doesn't top the original. I think Ocean's 12 is actually a almost criminally underrated movie. But I'd slot this one in front of 13. I would.
Nice.
Like, I would put this one, I think, in terms of quality. I think it surpasses that final installment in the original trilogy. And, you know, that's no faint praise. Like, it's a fun movie. Like, we Sheridan and I went and really, like, genuinely enjoyed ourselves in a way that I wasn't necessarily sure I was going to. So it was nice.
There you go. The lowdown from Alan Adams here on Pass the Popcorn. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.